Good morning, church. My name is Laura. The Bible reading today comes from Psalm 20, verses 1 to 9. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call.
Hi, everyone. Last week, I watched the Steven Spielberg film Ready Player One. It's all about a future world where a virtual reality game called The Oasis dominates people's time and their lives. One of the central ideas of the film is that while the digital world is amazing, the real world is still superior because it's, well, real. But while the film says the real world is better, it doesn't dive too much into the morality or darker side of the technology that's in use. It hints at these themes, but it doesn't look too close. I bring this up because I think that we do a similar thing when it comes to how we engage with technology and the digital spaces in our lives. Technology is all around us, just like in the fictional world of Ready Player One, and we know it can be problematic and that there is a dark side to it, but we don't spend a lot of time reflecting on it. In particular, I'm not sure how many of us in church have a really well thought out Christian approach to technology. So we're going to spend a lot of our time today up front thinking about what the world says about tech and how it shapes us. Then we'll look at a couple of interesting passages from the Bible and think about how we can use technology well. First up, tech in the world. The world around us has a very clear message when it comes to technology. It makes your life better. Even those sci-fi movies that do look at the dark side of tech don't really end up saying technology is bad. Most of the time, the world around us is saying something like those Telstra ads that say technology is how we connect and that technology is magic. And our tech does connect us, and some of the things that our technology does can seem pretty magical. But because technology is kind of magical and moves so quickly, we aren't always aware of how drastically it has changed our lives. Imagine, to borrow another Steven Spielberg idea, that I traveled back in time and told someone in 1982 that when your son grows up, he will carry this rectangular device around in his pocket that he would feel compelled to check on average 130 times a day. He'll check it when he wakes up, at the breakfast table, on the toilet, at work, when he's watching TV, when he's chatting with his wife, and when he's lying in bed, which will cost him an extra 30 minutes of sleep before he turns off the light. Oh, and by the way, on this device, he can do everything from check his work emails when he's meant to be with his family to looking at the vilest pornography that you have ever seen, if you so wished. Now, what do you think the parents of that child born in 1982 would say? Would they be worried? I mean, probably, right? But what are those parents doing today? Well, they are using their phones just as much, right? That's how much things have changed. We Australians are the fourth biggest mobile phone users in the world. 84% of us have them. We check them, again, on average, 130 times a day. Some of us would be in the thousands. 40% of people would rather pay for mobile phone data than have running water. 65% of 1,000 Australians surveyed said they couldn't cope without internet access for more than 2 consecutive hours. Men, in particular, are tied to their phones, with 74% saying they have their phones on hand all day, compared to 60% of women. And that's just phones. Again, on average, Australians spend 9.4 hours per day in front of a screen of some kind. When I watched Ready Player One, I saw a world where the technology is more advanced, but people being dependent on tech and being attached to it all the time, that's not the future. That's the now. So What I'm going to do is spend some time thinking about how technology shapes us. Now, I'm not against technology, and I'm not saying that technology is evil. Technology is just a practical application of scientific knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. But while my phone is not evil, I have to recognize there is stuff that goes on with it that might be. Now, that might sound a little crazy, but hear me out, okay? Let's look at, briefly, four big areas where technology is shaping our lives. First up, my tech encourages me to be a consumer. This phone that I have with me all the time is not just produced by people with no purpose beyond giving me a cool device. These devices are designed by people that have their own intentions, some good and some bad. Peter Leithart, president of the Theopolis Institute for Biblical, Liturgical and Cultural Studies, says this about technology. Tools want to be used this way and not that. My phone wants my wants to head in a certain direction. My phone trains me to expect instant satisfaction of my infinite desires. Our world is jigged by phones, computers, and tablets towards self-absorption and roving, inattentive consumption. My phone turns myself into a self. Now, that last line is a tab lane, I'll give you that, but you get the point, right? My phone is designed to get me to inattentively consume. My tech devices are things that others use to get me to consume, absorb, drink, and digest their products and try to get me to behave or vote in a certain way. Now again, my devices aren't evil, but we need to recognize them for what they are. My phone is a device that gives me one thing, the ability to connect in magical ways to all sorts of other things, while also selling me on all sorts of other things that people want me to consume. My phone wants me to be dependent on it. And the next area that it shapes us in is how we build an identity. In Ready Player One, like in lots of online games, you create an avatar where you enter into the digital world. You make it look like whatever you want, just like I can make my life look a certain way based on what I post on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitch. I create an online identity. And then I get my sense of worth from whether that online identity is received well or not. How many likes does a post get? How many followers do I have? Technology has enabled us to measure with numbers how popular we are compared to the next person. The technological devices that I use and the apps on them allow me to create an identity for myself and a sense of worth from the pixels I see, the sounds I hear, delivered by the plastic in my hand. My sense of self is built on how sleek my tech is and how much people like me and my stuff. It's not exactly a recipe for emotional or spiritual health. Third, technology affects my relationships. Tony Winkie, who has written a great book called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, says this. The smartphone is causing a social reversal, the desire to be alone in public and never alone in seclusion. We can be shielded in public and surrounded in isolation, meaning we can escape the awkwardness of human interaction on the street and the boredom of solitude in our homes, or so we think. What Winkie is saying is that our phones encourage us to disconnect from the people we are present with and to avoid solitude when we are away from others. Teens these days are less likely to leave their homes, drink alcohol, get their driver's license, and go out on dates than the generation before them at the same age. But while teen pregnancies, for example, are rarer than ever, rates of teen suicide and depression have skyrocketed. Social scientist Jean Twenge believes this is because teens live their social life on their phones and much of that time is spent in their room, alone, and often distressed. We're more connected, but more detached than ever before in our everyday relationships. Now, I'm not against making friends online. Some of you probably met your spouse that way. But if the majority of our relationships are online, then we're going to lack a certain sense of things in our relational life. Devices are a mediator between me and anyone that I engage with online. A mediator is a go-between between two things. Mediators aren't bad, but we need to know how they affect us and how we perceive things. In person, we have body language and moods that are harder to pick up on digitally. We can't hug and we can't really see the detail in each other's faces as we chat, even through things like Zoom. God gave us physical bodies for a reason. The physical matters. And to simply relate digitally is not having a whole relationship with a person. Remember, we are only ever dealing with a person's constructed self online. We all work on projecting images in real life too, from the clothes that we wear to the cars that we drive, but it's kind of easier to spot. And also, our relationships online are also typically very private, or only seen by those in whatever online community that we are in. Healthy relationships are one where they exist in a broader community, and where people who love us can see what's going on too. Now finally, on the way the technology shapes us, we have to think about how it affects our ability to think and to engage, particularly how it affects our ability to engage with God. There's a growing body of evidence that shows that consistently using our devices and the often constant stream of notifications that we allow them to ping us with affects our attention spans and ability to focus on mental tasks. One study suggests that our average attention span has gone from 12 minutes to 5 minutes. And don't ask me how many times I checked for a notification while I was writing the sermon. The average member of Gen Z, those born after 1995, have an 8-second filter for processing information. And if you haven't given them something they're interested in those 8 seconds, they're gone until you can come up with something to get them back. But don't get mad at the youngsters. That's just them dealing with this world that we've allowed technology to create. Put all this together, though, and we've definitely made it harder on ourselves to practice classic Christian disciplines like slowly and thoughtfully reading the Bible, reflecting on what God's word has to say, talking to him and richly dwelling in prayer and just dwelling with the Spirit. Now, I've spent a lot of time on thinking about how technology shapes us, because the more clearly we see the problem, the quicker what we're about to hear from the Bible will hit home. Now, obviously, there aren't smartphones or any phones in the Bible. But we can see that there are times when the people in the Bible had to grapple with what to do with the tech of their own day. And one of the clearest examples was these things. All right, these things, these chariots, were the most formidable military tech of their day, carrying people who could ride, kill, and shield others. Not great on the hills, but amazing in the open plains. And the people of God in the Old Testament were often confronted with this tech. Now, these things are cool, alright? If Apple brought them out back in the day, the lines would have been around the block. I mean, I would want this to be my ride back in the day. You know, matching spear and shield, awesome, okay? But seriously, the prophet Isaiah and King David took these things seriously and thought about them theologically. This is what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. And King David says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. And both Isaiah and David are making the same point. Trust in the Lord, not in chariots and horses. Isaiah acknowledges the power and strength of the tech and their users, the chariots and the horsemen. They're cool. But he says, it is woe to trust in those things and not the Lord. And that really is the first thing that we need to understand when it comes to technology. Yes, technology is great, but it's not the thing to put your trust in. But this is what lots of us do. Remember, 40% of Australians would choose mobile data over running water. There is this real sense that we can't live without our tech. 65% of people said they couldn't cope with going more than 2 hours without the internet. Now, what's the first thing you check when there's a blackout? How much battery you have on your devices, right? We rely on these devices to shop, to order food, to learn new things, to message people, to keep safe. And none of these things are bad. But if you start to trust in this more for your life than God, the God of the universe, that's a problem. Our tech can do all sorts of stuff, and in many ways, it makes us more powerful than people at any other time in history. Do you know how long it took Marco Polo to get to China to learn about noodles? I can get 1,000 recipes in less than a second. But as powerful as this may make me, and as good as the things I can do with it can make me feel, it's not what I should trust my life with. Especially because this phone can't do anything to save me from my biggest problem, which is that I'm a sinner who has broken God's laws and deserves to be punished for those sins. Not being popular could be a problem that maybe my phone could help me with. But do you know what a real problem is? Being spiritually dead. And no matter how much I try to recharge using my phone, nothing can bring my soul to life apart from the Spirit of God. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My best works are like filthy rags before God's holiness and goodness. What I need is not another outfit, like, friend, or trend. What I need is new life through the power of Christ. I need the forgiveness that comes from knowing and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross to pay the price for my sins and rose from the dead so I can have eternal life. Our tech is cool. It's powerful. But not like Jesus. Our tech will fade right about the time that 12-month warranty is up. But the power of Christ is good for all eternity. And in this world, He gives us a power to live that never runs out. So the first point to remember that we are not to trust our life to chariots, horses, or phones, but to Jesus Christ, the Lord Almighty. Next though, once I've trusted Christ, I need to recognize that what God gives to us in creation is good and is to be used for His glory. God declared when He created the world on the sixth day that His creation is good. And in Colossians 1:16-17, it says, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." The "all things" there includes the things that we have made with the gifts God has given us in creation. In fact, the ability to make great things with what God has given us in creation is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Exodus 31:1 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for your work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship.'" The ability to create things with materials and to create with craftsmanship is a gift of God. The technology that we have today is the product of the potential given in God's good creation and the potential that He has given to His image bearers in the power of His Spirit. We don't need to fear technology, but we have to be thoughtful about how we use it. Technology is a tool that we use for good or evil. And we're all called to use it to love God and love people the same that we are to do with everything that God has given us. And did you ever think about what Jesus did before His public ministry? He was a carpenter, right? He made things. He built things. He used tools to do it. You can use a hammer to crush a person's skull or to build something wonderful. So, let's recognize that our devices, all of our modern technology, are things that can be used to love God and His people or to dishonor God and harm His people. So to finish off, let's spend some time working back through our categories of how technology has shaped us and try to think about how we can do them well. Now, first up, we said that our technology are consumption devices. So, got to ask the question, what are you consuming on it? Did you just scroll through it endlessly and allow it, and you know, everything that your friends are putting up there to stir up envy inside of you? Do you just waste the time that God has given you, just listlessly looking through lists? Do you constantly look at what you're going to buy next? Are you sucked into foolish talk and pointless disputes? Do you slander people and rage against unnamed enemies just so you can vent publicly? Do you spend your time on activities that will encourage and edify people? Or are you addicted to pointless games that used to be a form of rest and now monopolize your time and energy? Do you, and let's be honest, this is a huge one, do you consume images of men and women made in the image of God, performing all sorts of sexual acts for your gratification and implicitly support the abuse perpetrated by the entire porn industry so they can rake in the dollars? What are you using your devices to consume? If you need help to break free from these consumption habits, then make use of the software tools that are out there to keep track of what you're looking at and to have accountability. Even better, replace your consumption of those negative things with the good God-honoring sermons and podcasts and blogs and all sorts of stuff that's out there. Every time you catch yourself watching junk, Switch it across to the Bible app and enrich your soul instead. Second, we said that this device forms our identity. How are you crafting your identity online? Are you putting on an airbrushed, photoshopped version of yourself out there? Are you painting the picture of yourself as the perfect parent? Do you only post about your victories and never the heartbreaks? Are you being an authentic self? Maybe it's time to be honest about what your life looks like. Maybe it's time to be vulnerable. Carefully, there are a lot of trolls out there. Where you can speak honestly about what it's like to follow Jesus and sometimes be broken, but to keep trusting him. Do you post about your faith? Do you share our church services online in your digital communities? Do you tell people about what really matters most to you and what's most important for them to hear? Third, we said technology affects our relationships. And so are you using this device that you have in your pocket probably right now to develop deeper and stronger relationships with the people in your life? Do you think carefully about what you do and say online? Do you remember that the people that you're talking to are people with real lives and real feelings, and that even when they disagree with you, they're still people created by God and made in his image? Or do you happily slander and bully people and pick fights? Do you mainly communicate in mocking gifts about people? Do you use your phone as a way to escape from being present with people when you're near them, and then use it to escape being alone by yourself when you're in solitude? Or do you use your devices to send encouraging messages and to call people and talk to them? The phone call, remember that thing? To keep finding ways to connect with them, to ask how they're doing. Are we, you know, going to keep finding ways after COVID to continue to maintain with people that might be geographically separated from us for, you know, health reasons or something else like that? There are so many ways that we can use our devices for good by the power of God's Spirit when we set our mind to thinking that way. And lastly, we've got to ask, are our devices and our tech helping or hindering our relationship with God? Is the way that you use this device enabling you to learn more about God and spend time with him? Or are you using it in such a way that you can no longer focus for more than a few minutes? Are you dependent on God or on this device? Which one could you go longer without? There's all sorts of apps on here that can help you know God more. Daily Bible, daily Bible reading plans, prayer diaries, updates, ease of access to different Bible translations, easily being able to access resources from all the major Christian voices through history, from Augustine and Irenaeus to Macrina the Younger to Martin Luther and Katie von Bora to the best of today. But we also have to be able to get away from this device and just spend time with the Lord. To pick up our paper Bibles and a pen and paper and talk to God and listen and write, and read, and go slow. Heck, you can still use your device to help you get started. Just set a timer for 10 minutes and put it on the other side of the room. Now, all these are just some ideas to get us started on using the tech God has given us to love him and others. Let's use these things well to love Jesus and each other by the power of God's Spirit. Let's be thoughtful about the way that we engage with the tech that's around us, not that it's bad, but because it's a tool that God has given to us, and we'll either use it for good or evil. And I'm going to pray now that by the power of God's Spirit, we use it for good. Father God, please enable us by your Spirit to love you well and to love others well with the tech that you've given us. Thank you for every good gift that you've given us. Thank you most of all for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for his sacrifice on the cross that means that we can know you truly and live with you forever. Thank you, Father, that through that we have your Spirit in us and we live in your Spirit. And as we seek to do that more and more, please enable us, Father, to use the gifts that we have been given for your glory. That, Father, we would not get sucked into the foolish ways of this world, but rather, Lord, we be mindful of what we do with the gifts that you've given us so that we can use them in such a way that your name is lifted on high and your glory is known throughout the ages. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.